The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Allie Patterson shares how everything in her happy and successful life came tumbling down.
I just fell to my knees on the sidewalk in front of somebody's house. And I didn't care, couldn't have cared less. What I knew is I want what's real. Right. I want a real life, and I know you're the one that can help me. I told him, break me. If you want a dangerous prayer to pray.
Right.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. Welcome to Life Today. You know, life can be messy and unpredictable, and our guest today knows that so, so well. She's written a book called How to Stay Standing. It's a great book, and I want to talk to her today and ask her, Allie Patterson, welcome, first of all.
Thank you.
But what inspired you to write this book, like the title, How to Stay Standing? Where did it even come from? Like, what's the source of this book for you?
Well, the source of the book is really my own story of building a life a certain way and then watching it collapse. Mm. And later, reading the words of Jesus describing exactly what had happened to me. So there's a piece of scripture that's at the heart of the book. But of course, when I was living that out, I had no idea. Wow. I just knew this didn't work. The way that I built my life didn't work.
So here's my question, because we talked about this online, and I think the natural thing when someone hears you say that is like, oh, well, yeah, she was doing all the wrong things. She didn't grow up in church. She wasn't a believer. She was, you know, just not the case, though.
Not
describe
at all the case.
What you built your life on or thought you did.
Mm-hmm. I truly did come into a relationship with Christ when I was 16 years old, and it was very real. It was very different than having gone to church, though that was really helpful to me. I truly understood the gospel for the first time when I was 16. I did not really understand how to let that be the basis for what happened in my life from that point forward. I just knew I believed, and I trusted God enough to believe this is who Jesus is, and I think that's for me, and I get it. Yeah. But I didn't know how to let that become the foundation of my whole life. And so what I did from there is I did what you do. As a good kid, as someone who wanted to be happy and successful, like, you know, those are the words we use when we talk about what we want our life to be like.
Right.
And so I did the things that I thought would get me that kind of life, a life where I was happy, a life where I was successful. I went to college. I got great grades. I had an awesome job. I met a good guy. The tricky thing is when I read the parable, which is at the heart of the book, the light bulb went on for me that I was building the house. That's right. What I was doing.
Yeah.
And some of those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. They're good things, right?
Yeah.
And they make a lot of sense. It's just without a foundation.
Right.
I took a version of what life was supposed to be like, and it was, I would say, more worldly wisdom.
Mm. Yeah.
This is what the world says is going to work. And what I did not understand is I was missing pieces inside my own heart that would have led me to understand, wait, who am I? Who did God make me to be? And what's the expression of following him in this world that I need to be busy doing? You know, instead, I was busy building my own career and doing the things that I thought were going to be good for me. I really didn't have my eye on how to follow him and what that would mean for building a life after him.
Wow, yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that because, hey, look, I love Jesus. I love the church.
Right, it's all good.
I'm a good person. I'm not breaking the laws. I don't have a horrible meth habit, you know?
Right,
I
mean, all these exactly.
Things, right? And so life has got to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a good citizen. I love Jesus and America and horses too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to make you go, okay, something's off, and it's very foundational and it's very, like, we got to deal with this.
Yes. I think eventually we all get presented with circumstances that test our character. They're going to test the, whatever you're building, the quality of that is eventually going to be tested. And so for me, it was a character thing. Mm. I was in a corporate career and I was finding a lot of success there. And I had a lot of freedom and a lot of money and a lot of things that the world would have thought, hey, you're doing great. Only I was presented a set of circumstances with really some deep cracks and holes in my own character. And I had an affair with somebody that I worked with.
Mm. Wow.
And even the day before, I would have told you, I'm not the kind of person who would ever do that. And that's what I see in so many people's lives, mm-hmm. is we have blind spots that until that trouble comes against, we just aren't presented with the circumstances that we will know. This is what I really value. This is who I am. This is what I'm made of. And in the wise and the foolish builder parable in the book, I talk about the fact that both builders, one building a house that would eventually fall and one building a house that was strong enough to stand, trouble came for both of them. Mm-hmm. The testing came for both of them, right? The storm came, the winds blew, the water rose. And truly, I mean, you know, if you're over about 15 years old, you know that's going to be the case, right? You are going to have some kind of struggle. And I do believe oftentimes God will gladly use that to test what we've been building.
Man.
What did you do? I mean, what was the fallout of that?
Oh, my goodness. These circumstances that were taking place in my life were the same ones. All of this struggle, all of this darkness, it was the same set of circumstances that God was pressing in on my life. Mm-hmm. And I could feel it. I knew it. I knew he was there in a way that, in an X factor way, in a way that you can't quite put your finger on. And I thought, he's here and this is my chance. This is my chance to try to do something right and real.
Yeah.
And there's two words that I think started the both my own downfall, but really the beginning of everything real. I told him, break me. If you want a dangerous prayer to pray.
Right.
And I couldn't bring myself to say those words for a couple of weeks. It was almost like the Holy Spirit had planted them somewhere in my heart. And they were just swirling around. And I thought, as soon as I for real tell the Lord to do this, he will.
That's right. He will.
And so it was one day I was out on a run. I love to run. I'm a runner. And I just fell to my knees on the sidewalk in front of somebody's house. And I didn't care. Couldn't have cared less. What I knew is I want what's real. Right. I want a real life. And I know you're the one that can help me.
Yeah.
And I just fell to my knees and I prayed those two little words. And I thought, he's going to do it. He's going to get me out. And it's probably not going to be pretty.
I think, Allie, I could picture that. I could actually picture you running, because I think so many people have probably been in places like that in our lives where we just like, we also feel trapped. We're stuck in something. I'm carrying this load by myself. I don't know how to get out. And when you got to a place of saying, break me, and you meant it.
Yes.
It's almost like God saying, are you sure? Are you ready for this? Because we're going to have to break it all the way down to the foundation in order to rebuild this back up again. Are you ready for that? Because we both know that healing takes work.
Yes.
Repair takes work. So if you're ready to heal, if you're ready to repair and you lay it all down, he's going to do it. And he'll take you all the way down to the foundation. And it sounds like that's exactly what he did in your life. That confession transforms a life.
Yes. This is the essence of, on the way into this parable that I mentioned, Jesus says three things. He says, for all who come to me and hear my word and put it into practice, I will show you what they're like. Mm-hmm. They're like a builder. And he tells the parable, that's what the wise builder does. And we're talking about coming to him, which you could sit in a church for your whole life and hear the word of God read to you and truly treasure it and respect it and honor it in external ways and never actually come to him. those like deeply honest moments where you're like, I'm not playing with you anymore, God.
Yeah.
There's something I want. And I've even talked to people, and I always want to give them a big hug when somebody says this to me. Like, well, I didn't really want God before, and now I'm in trouble, and I need him. And I think, great. This is the set of circumstances that God may have actually allowed to take place in your life to back you into a corner. Will you come to me? Or will you try to do this on your own? And when those two little words were really me coming to him, that's how I would put it now. It was me going, okay, I want you to do this, and I want you to do it no matter the cost. And that's what you were mentioning. There's a cost, right?
Yes.
And it's not, sometimes the cost is your reputation. Sometimes the cost is just deep pain and difficulty in relationships or in the way your life is going. Sometimes you have to give things up to get out of the situations that have put you where you are. And all I can say is, oh my goodness, the flip side is so much better.
So much better.
Yes. Yeah. Because what you discover is there's this amazing, incredible God who's alive and who wants to be with you and bless you in ways you can't even fathom when you're in the middle of that kind of darkness.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because I'm a little bit of a word geek. And, and when I looked at brokenness in the Hebrew, there's two connotations there. There's the kind that David had that was the contrition, like you had, that you just said, okay, God, tear it all down. Let's get to the foundation. You break me. I surrender. And then there's the other type that I think Job may have talked about it, and it's the brokenness that is a ruin. It is I am crushed, I am defeated, I am no good anymore. And if we try to do it on our own, life will break us. Our own actions may break us. Our own sin may break us. It may be something that completely external outside, an abuse or some other kind of situation. But when we allow that, when we lay out our lives down in a sense and let God break us and tear us down, He has the redemptive quality to rebuild us.
Yes.
So for someone who's watching, who may be where you were, they're maybe hanging on, things just aren't working out right, maybe something, it's blown up, right?
Yes.
And it's on the tip of their tongue, that break me prayer.
Yes.
Gosh.
What can you tell them to testify to God's goodness, the no condemnation, the restoration process that's on his heart?
As soon as I invited him into that space in my life, right smack into the pain and the darkness and the I don't know what to do anymore. When I invited God into that space for real, I began to experience him in ways that I can't forget them many years later. And I was confused by that, because what was happening on the outside is I felt terrible. I felt like the worst person I knew.
Sure.
I was trying to hide it from people. I was very ashamed. I was still lying about trying not to lose my job and, you know, lose friendships and all of that kind of stuff. And we scramble because we want to keep our whole life together. And what I discovered is when I gave up, when I handed it over, what was mine was kept. What the Lord had for me, it stayed. The things that were good and real that he could build with and work with in my life, they stayed. And there were things that I lost. And in hindsight, I just go, good riddance to you. Because we don't like the idea that there's loss, but when he takes things, it's as good as him leaving things. I remember a particular instance where I was in my kitchen, and I couldn't understand why God wanted anything to do with me. You know, I was so ashamed of myself. I was so broken. And I remember I was singing some kind of worship song. I can't remember what it was now. I wish I could. And everything around me, I felt his presence suddenly, like with me in a palpable way. And it filled me with this incredible joy. I was just like, whatever my life is going to turn into from this point forward, it's going to be better than what I left.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so many times we hold ourselves, we just desperately cling to the things that we think we need.
Right.
Right. It's what keeps us from surrendering to God.
That's comfortable.
We're yeah. terrified to yes. lose those couple of things. Well, you know, it doesn't take you very long into words of Jesus to realize that when we hand over and we're willing to lose, mm-hmm. he is willing to give back all the things that are really the life that he has for us. And that's totally my story. I thought every time I surrender, every time I confess, every time I tell the truth, every time I walk his direction mm-hmm. and just do what he says to do, I thought it was going to equal only ever pain and loss. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it was actually the road back to life.
Wow.
So I was reading just this morning, Psalm 40, and that a lot of people are familiar with the very beginning of that Psalm. And David says, I waited patiently for the Lord and, you know, he inclined his ear and heard my cry and he lifted me out of a muddy, you know, slimy pit and put my feet on the rock. And there's a translation that actually says, I completely relied upon the Lord. It translates waited patiently as though I completely relied upon him. But there yeah. is this waiting, like yeah. you do have to move his direction. And sometimes it does cost you things and the obedience isn't fun, mm-hmm. but you have to read the rest of that Psalm. I mean, David is a man who ends up completely trusting the Lord, even now in the middle of new troubles.
Mm. So here's my question, because you got, you know, the three points, coming to Jesus. I think we get that. How important is it that we do the words, mm-hmm. not just hear them, like them, agree with them?
Right.
Actually do them.
Yes. I mean, I've been in many churches and around many, like, truly people who want to love God. Mm-hmm. And we do tend to listen and mentally agree with the words of God and walk away and not actually practice them fully in our life. Guilty, we've all been there,
sure.
right?
Right, right.
And as we do them, that's where the foundation is actually won. Mm. You cannot stand on rock. The parts of my faith that I own today that you can't talk me out of, they're not mental assent. I won in real life experience of trying to just simply do what it said. That started with confession, with just, I just started telling the truth.
Yeah.
I wonder what would happen if you just told the truth. I know that sounds so simple, but everything from what do you really think about something mm-hmm. all the way to a true confession of something that needs to be, you know, yeah. come out and yeah. be released. That in and of itself is revolutionary. Mm. I have a practice when I read the word, when I come across something that I feel like, you know, just a little nudge, you need to do that. Yeah. I'm a list maker. I make it the top priority mm-hmm. for my day. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as, you know, encourage one another. It could be something super simple.
But that's big. That's
do it.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Your encouragement doesn't do any good inside your own
right,
head,
right? Right.
So just, I mean, it's not all earth-shattering stuff, but as you do it, you get to watch the Lord go to work.
Yeah.
Right. So if I come and I encourage you yeah. and you don't, had I kept that to myself, it may be that it deeply matters to something that yes. the Lord wants for you to hear.
Right.
So you have no idea what the Lord is going to do with your simple acts of obedience.
Yeah, you're right.
And to me, that's the fun part of following Jesus is you get to watch him go to work. He offers you a chance to obey him. And if you will, you get to watch what he'll actually do with that.
I love it.
And to me, that's the best part. That's the fun part.
It is.
Definitely.
It is. We have an opportunity right now for people to do what Jesus said, which is to reach out to those who are hurting, to rescue those who are suffering, to bring good news to people who desperately need it. We want to give you that chance to actually do it. So take a look at this and see how you can do the words of Jesus.
It began with a dream. For a mother like this, it was the dream of a prosperous future for her daughter. And hope for that dream came as a promise from a stranger. An honorable start to a new life. An opportunity for a child to escape a world of poverty and to pursue her destiny. But in reality, this dream come true was a mother's worst nightmare. Promise became betrayal. This daughter was kidnapped and sold into the sex slave trade. Once a picture of innocence, her body was violated as she was submitted to the unbridled lust of countless men. With her humanity stripped from her and her spirit broken, it seemed all hope was lost. It's not too late for daughters like this to be rescued. But time is running out.
This is not a life that any one of these families or children ever wanted or ever dreamed of. They've been lied to, they've been promised the world, and then they step into a nightmare, and everything is stripped from them, it's taken from them, their dignity, their identity, in many cases, their very lives. I can't imagine a mother having to carry this burden around, thinking that she was about to change the life of her little girl, but had no idea just what kind of change that would bring. We have an opportunity today. Time is of the essence. Time is running out for many of these little ones. We have an opportunity today to come together and to make a difference, to save the very lives of hundreds of children that have been sold into human trafficking, that desperately want out, that feel trapped, that feel like nobody hears them, nobody's on the way, nobody's coming to rescue them. I want to be that voice for them today, to let them know that we're on the way, we're coming. We are going to reach you, we're going to rescue you, and we're going to restore your little life. We're going to rebuild that. We're going to tell you and show you exactly who you are in Christ so that this would never happen to you again and you would recognize the signs, you would be able to help the next child. I want to be a part of that, and I'm praying that you would consider being a part of that with us today. Randy, there's so much that we can do.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we've talked to many girls who have come out of this that said that they prayed. They don't even necessarily know who they're praying to, if anyone's listening. But you know what, Tammy? We come in with Rescue Life and we're an answer to that prayer.
Yes.
And we tell them who it is that can restore them and give them a hope and a future and heal the lies that cause so much damage can only be healed by the truth of Jesus Christ. That's what we believe, and we know you believe it too. That's why we ask you to join us in this ministry that is openly a ministry of Jesus Christ to reach, to rescue, and to restore. I'm asking you to give the best gift you can. I can give you the numbers. You'll see them and how it breaks down on average per child. And we've got a wonderful matching gift. But it's not about dollars. It's really not. I mean, the money enables us to put people into the field, to get the programs in place, to buy the things we need. It's a necessity. But it's about giving life and hope of Jesus Christ to people who desperately need it, who some of them are praying right now to get out of their hell. Mm-hmm. We need to bring them the good news of heaven. So I'm asking you to give the best gift you can. And it doesn't matter what that is. You know what it is. Just pause for a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me do to reach someone who is in a desperate situation, to rescue them from the hell that they're in, to help restore them, give them a hope and a future. What can my part be? And then give with gladness in your heart, knowing that it's going to make a difference. The gift of $64 today will reach that child. $128 will reach two. $1,280 will reach 20. Reach, rescue, or restore, whatever it is. Again, Tammy and I just come to you and say, hey, let's come out as a big, strong team, the body of Christ, to storm the gates of hell and to give them heaven. Go online or go to the phone right now. Give the best gift you can.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Believe This, Not That, featuring a promise from heaven for every need on earth. This book is a resource every believer should have when facing discouragement, pain, fear, or the vast array of negative thoughts that attack all believers. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive Experiencing Israel by Tony Evans. Discover the Holy Land like never before and view stunning scenes in spectacular full-color photography. Also, find practical applications that bring the world of the Bible into your life today. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may receive our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you are going online, going to the phone right now. Together, we can make a huge impact, but it takes all of us. Allie, I appreciate you being here. What's your website for people that want to get the book or find out more about your ministry?
Yes, it's theAllyPatterson.com. And I would love to connect, and you can find out about the book there and all the other work that I do.
Man, it's so good to talk to you, Allie. I learned so much even from just our conversation today. Thank you for taking
Thank
a stand
you.
And writing this book. I believe it's going to impact the lives of so many. Go out and grab this book today. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time on Life Today.
I am a Christian because the evidence is so strong that Jesus physically, bodily rose from the grave.
Jeremiah Johnston presents A Body of Proof tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.